This is an audio recap of the College Completion Summit hosted by the University of Utah and the Lumina Foundation. On September 30th and October 1st, 2019, the College Completion Summit brought together presidents and senior leaders from public universities that have significantly advanced their college completion rates. Chris Nelson, Communications Director for the University of Utah, leads a panel discussion titled Completion and Public Perception.
So thank you. Welcome to the Public Perception and College Completion panel. We had initially talked about making this a media panel. And what we realized is when we talk about public perception at the University of Utah and the communication and marketing team, we do a lot of audience segmentation. So the public is a pretty big amorphous blob out there. And so we didn't break down public. We certainly use the media to reach the public, but media become a very specific audience for us as well. Government officials become both at the federal level and the state level. Then we're talking to donors, other key stakeholders on campus, including students, prospective students, influencers of prospective students, that might be parents, guardians, friends, other family members. When we talk about public perception, as we get into this, I just want to make sure we're looking at it very broadly. It's not just media perception, because again, it's how we reach the general public as well.
Here's Kim Parker, Director of Trends Social Research at the Pew Research Center.
So I wanted to talk to you a little bit about broad public views about the value of college and also the role that colleges are playing in preparing this new generation for jobs in this changing economy. And first, you know this, but just to reassure you, Americans place a lot of value on a college degree. They think it's important for young people to be successful, to have a college degree. College graduates themselves say that their experience was very positive, both personally and in terms of preparing them for the workforce. Parents of young children aspire to have their children go to college. It's still very much a part of the American ethos. But at the same time, there's a growing sense of discontent about the role that colleges and universities are playing in this country, an undercurrent of dissatisfaction that we've started to see in some of our polling. And these views are increasingly linked to partisanship. So since I'm from Washington, D.C., I'm unfortunately going to have to talk a little bit about partisanship. I know it's unpleasant, but it's a part of all of the topics that I study right now, and now it is sort of pervasive views about higher education, which was not the case in the past, and I think that's interesting and kind of disturbing. So in our recent polling in 2019, we found that only 50% of Americans say that colleges and universities are having a positive effect on the way things are going in the country. Now that 50% figure is down from 63% just 4 years ago. So that's a pretty dramatic change in a fairly short period of time. And the increase in negative views of colleges and universities has come almost entirely from Republicans and independents who lean to the Republican Party. And so we asked a question in that 2018 poll, are colleges and universities generally headed in the right direction or the wrong direction? We found 68% of the public said they're headed in the wrong direction. And that included 73% of Republicans, but also 52% of Democrats, a pretty significant share. And so we asked those people, what are the reasons why you feel this way? Why do you think colleges are headed in the wrong direction? And Republicans and Democrats shared a couple of ideas here. They both pointed to the rising cost of college and tuition costs being a factor and a reason why things are headed in the wrong direction. And they also both talked about job readiness. So colleges, there's a perception that colleges aren't doing a good job of preparing young people for jobs in the economy. But after that, they parted ways. So Republicans, big majorities of Republicans, said that one of the major reasons colleges are headed in the wrong direction is because they're too focused on protecting students from views that they may find offensive. And a large majority, I think 79%, also said that professors are bringing their political and social views into the classroom, and that's one of the reasons that their views are so negative about colleges and universities. Now, just a few more thoughts on the value of college. We do find that the public thinks a college degree is very valuable, but they see it only as sort of a credential that gets you maybe access to the job market, but there's a very strong sense among the public, and especially among college graduates themselves, that it's going to be essential for them throughout their careers to keep gaining new skills, keep getting training, and sort of reinventing themselves so that they can stay relevant. And that's something that I think is useful for people at colleges and universities to understand, that the public really thinks the degree is important, but it's not enough to set me up for success. I'm going to have to go out and keep pushing, taking on new skills, getting training, whether it's additional educational degrees or, you know, perhaps training from an employer. So that's very much becoming a part of the public mindset.
Here's Mushtaq Gunja, Vice President and Chief of Staff at the American Council on Education.
First, the big picture findings are all perfectly consistent with both what Pew found, what Gallup has found. There is a drop in approval that we have found from 14, 15 to 17, 18, 19. It's mainly among Republicans. As Kim said, Republicans don't like they don't like the politics that they're seeing in on our campuses. They don't like the admissions process generally. They especially don't like affirmative action. And Dems don't like the admissions process. And in the wake of Varsity Blues, I guess that's not surprising, but the deep suspicion among Democrats about legacy admissions and that the whole process is rigged came up over and over, both in our focus groups and in the polling sort of generally. And all Dems, Independents, Republicans, everybody is worried about cost. So first takeaway, our findings are perfectly consistent with the other polling that's sort of out there. Second, you know, I think that what we found is that these worries, especially about cost, have led to some real misperceptions about student debt and the amount of borrowing. So we asked parents and students, you know, what percent of students they go to college to borrow, and how much do they borrow? And the public thinks that something like 72% of families and students have to borrow to go to college, and that on average they're borrowing $80,000. And on average, completers, those who complete a four-year degree, borrow on average about $30,000. But that gap between $80,000 and $30,000 is enormous. So one of the most shocking takeaway for me in our research was that the public does not believe that we have their students' best interests at heart when it comes to completion. In our focus group, one thing that came up sort of over and over was that people thought that we were intentionally keeping students on campus longer so that we could take their tuition dollars. So we put all of these sort of takeaways together and we tested some mission statements. So we tested one with three messages in particular. One that was about completing quickly with a minimum of debt and allowing students to succeed economically. Let me just read the mission statement to you so that way I can really be accurate with what it was. It was, X College will help students complete their degree in a timely fashion with a minimum amount of debt to enable them to succeed economically in their lives. The message tested like through the roof. So 75% of parents said that would make them more likely to send their student to that university. But 75%, I mean, we didn't get anything else in our surveys that tested nearly as well. So we checked. So our board of directors at ACE is made up of 36 colleges. So I went through and I checked the websites of all those schools to see whether or not the schools are doing a good job sort of advertising this on their websites, and we are not. Like, not at all.
Here's Marjorie Cortez, reporter at the Deseret News.
Well, I think I primarily cover the Utah system now, and the system's actually in the process led by the legislature of reimagining, and so I think all of the schools in the system are having to take a really hard look at themselves about, you know, how are we meeting students' needs? You know, how do we help them succeed? What are the barriers? I think key to telling that story is just really understanding what students are up against. You know, the Utah System of Higher Education just did a big survey of mental health needs. And it was really staggering, the just intense anxiety that students deal with. And, you know, you would think about it, this is a generation, is, you know, that post-Columbine generation. I'm a mom, and I still remember as a journalist, I was always schooled by my mentors, never cry at work. Well, I cried today that Columbine happened because I'm a Coloradan, but also because I knew my kids, who were 3 and 7 at the time, their life was going to be drastically different than mine. And so in a lot of ways, I feel like every kid's kind of a first-gen kid now. And it, there was no FAFSA when I went to college. I kind of had a linear path, and I don't think that's true anymore. But I also think that students attending colleges now are dealing with things, you know, I just can't even imagine. Like, a third are hungry, by many reports. Housing prices are out of control. My youngest daughter just started her master's degree at CU Anschutz in public health. Her rent is $1,600 a month. And, you know, and I go into her apartment, and I'm looking in like I'm doing some welfare check, like I'm a social worker, because I didn't have enough to eat. But these are kind of bewildering times for students. And I think, you know, I don't think anyone really argues the value of college education, but I think we need to show more students, you know, colleges and universities need to show parents and students, how is this possible for me? How can I make it work when I don't have enough to eat, or when I'm struggling to pay my rent, or in the Utah system, 74% of students work at least one quarter, and 45% work full time, I mean all year round, and try to go to school. So I think if we can demonstrate how we make all those pieces fit together, that's, you know, that would be my counsel.
Here's Jocelyn Guzman, inaugural member of the Policy Corps at Leadership Enterprise for a Diverse America.
So I guess starting with one thing too, I know we're talking about the perceived perception of the value of a college degree, but I also want to acknowledge that nationally there's a perceived perception that certain groups don't value college degrees, right? And so nationally, I grew up in a community that was told that they don't value college by external factors, and that's internalized, right? And that's something that when you're brought up in those communities and you're constantly hearing the national narrative is that you don't care, becomes something that almost comes to reality. So an acknowledgement that we need to challenge those systems on a daily basis. Also thank you to the data folks, thank you to the media folks. But for me, I have really thought from the time I was born that college was important, and not because someone told me, it just was like, I don't know, it's what you see on TV, you gotta go to college, you gotta do it. My parents, both on all sides of my family, we come from laborers who are primarily agro-laborers. Shout out to my people in Hawaii, Filipino ancestry, went to the rice plantations there, people in the Central Valley of California doing all the agriculture there. And so when you come from a family of laborers like myself, and my mom was 15 whenever she was pregnant with me, right? So she actually graduated a year early from the same high school that I ended up attending and graduating from with all these honors. And so it's these factors that you're told, right? We're using data in interesting ways. We're told that I wasn't supposed to succeed. A lot of students in this room probably share this narrative as well. But the value of college was always in my household. And so whenever I was asked to speak today on this panel, as I do before I'm asked to speak at any event, and I talk to my community about what they would say if they were invited to speak at the panel, right? And a lot of things that I heard amongst people in my community, a lot of whom are the some college, no degree folks, right? A lot of who have a lot of debt that they can't pay back, that they're struggling to pay their mortgages or their rent payments, they're facing eviction notices. And a lot of what they said was that people just don't care about them, right? There's this lack of care, and I know it's very simple, and in a principle, but this idea that if you care about people and you make them feel like you care, like they're gonna succeed. And so that's one thing I faced. And then also from a person who goes to these events, studies the topic, is very well aware of the data, I also struggle sometimes to see the value, right? Because I'm facing these struggles that you're seeing in your thing. So actually, I started at Claremont Graduate University, and my first day was also my first day of work at the institution. So I was like thrown on to start doing all these initiatives and to start being a student myself. And I almost did not return. I took a trip back home. Because, well, first of all, I haven't moved out on the train, which involved me taking 2 bags on the train, you know, just to figure out how I'm gonna move into a place. It's also like this existence in this space, like I still struggle with it. I face the imposter syndrome on a daily basis. And I'm a very well-knowledge person. I know how to navigate institutions, and I imagine like for my colleagues that don't, how difficult that is, and so I understand why students are completing.
Chris Nelson of the University of Utah directed a question to the students in the audience.
Where do you consume, like, what would have influenced you with your college choice, your family, and like, where is that college degree completion perception coming from in your personal world?
Hi, I'm Sydney. I'm from Wayne State University. I'm somebody who actually used Twitter as a way to get news. But in terms of like deciding on what university I wanted to go to, as you spoke about, campus tours are huge. So like having campus tours from people who are not faculty, or I don't think faculty does them, but like having people who have went to the university for a very long time can speak about the pros and cons honestly without having to hide their truths and hide like flaws at the university. It's been really helpful. And especially when I did my campus tours, it was like a feel, an environment. And if I didn't feel invited in that environment when I went to the student center, when I went to lots of students congregated, then it wasn't like I was drawn to that university. So outside of just the campus tours, it was like actually being in the environments that students house.
At what point did they talk about completion? So, is that settling to get you to the school to get access, but it's also, I think we're also, I'm curious in your personal experience, when completion hit. I assume you just assumed you'd complete when you got in, or?
It was always just an assumption. Like, you go to a college tour and they are under the assumption that you're going to be done in 4 years. There's not, at least from my point of view, there wasn't a lot of talk about that fifth year. There wasn't a lot of talk about that summer class. There wasn't a lot of talk about, whether or not this might not be the school for you and things like that. So, of course, you want to advocate for your school and you want to persuade people to come to your school. But at the same time, you have to be realistic in the fact that there are choices to make when you start school. And so that's what I didn't feel was very present. Also, retention rates weren't really expressed, or at least I don't remember they were expressed fully. So what they did to work on retention rates weren't what I saw, or what didn't make me want to choose that school more. It was more so what the university could do for me.
Thank you for listening. Find the audio recap of the next panel discussion, What's Next to Move the Needle on Completion, and other summit proceedings at collegecompletion.utah.edu.